Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is presented by Kroger. More ways to save fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
All right, lot to do. Let's dive right into it. There have been a lot of rumors involving five-star running back Zachary Evans this week. Many of you have been kind of sharing these with me, either in our comment sections live here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger or on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. Hey, BA, did you hear that Zachary Evans is expected to commit this week? There was also one of these about 2 weeks ago as well. Then there was this thing I started hearing of, hey, B.A., did you hear that Zachary Evans is going to be playing this weekend for his high school football team? What exactly is going on with all of this? As I kind of said, there are a lot of Evans-themed rumors here. We'll deal with a lot of these in more detail when Dog Nation's recruiting insider Jeff Sintel joins us in a moment. But let me see if I can, on my own here, bring you up to speed. There was a local TV station in Houston that last night tweeted this about Evans, that he's apparently, quote, dealing with some issues. It's breaking news from VYPE in Houston. North Shore running back, ESPN number one recruit Zachary Evans is still on the roster but not playing tonight versus a Rift Point. The quote here from the athletic director, we're handling some issues in-house. Now that tweet, the word issues in particular, is going to get a lot of attention. Zachary Evans, to his credit, went public to try to set the record straight on all of this. On his own Instagram feed, he kind of went into more detail from his perspective of what these issues supposedly regard. He says, don't speak on a situation you don't know about. I've been missing time due to family issues. So Evans, if we take him at his word there, the quote-unquote issues, not anything related to any kind of personal behavior maybe, but something more along the lines with family. Now, you add to this, as I said before, the confusion of Georgia fans who thought this might be the week, or over the last couple of weeks, this might be the month where UGA celebrates a commitment from five-star running back Zachary Evans. So the obvious question is, what in the world is going on here? I won't pretend to know, but I am going to take a page from another five-star running back's playbook here for a moment. I want to think about Kendall Milton, the UGA commit, who during his ceremony, going back, what, about a month or so ago, when he was asked about what was next, he was clearly thinking second running back, and you better believe that I believe Georgia for its 2020 class, a second running back is indeed a priority. Now, if the folks who do this for a living come up with the consensus that Zachary Evans is truly the best of all of those, then he's the guy that I think Georgia ought to want most. And the fact that he's dealing with quote-unquote issues, whether they be of his own doing or something involving his family, that doesn't do anything to scare me off of him. Nor does the fact that there have been some false starts regarding his potential commitment to UGA, that doesn't necessarily scare me either. But at the same time, Evans has never been the only running back I'm interested in from Georgia's perspective. He just happens to be the one I'm interested in the most. But ultimately, the very unemotional way that Kendall Milton has talked about this and how things might progress for Zachary Evans and others, I do think that needs to be the blueprint for the rest of Dog Nation as well. Let me give you a reminder here from Milton talking about Evans, but also mentioning another running back by name as well.
I plan on playing with another great back, so going after Zach, going after Tank, trying to put together his all-star team to make the competition a little bit easier.
So I think the key phrase there is all-star team. It's Milton plus an elite running back, and maybe it still ends up being Zachary Evans. And whatever's gone on this week wouldn't dissuade me from wanting to see him be a part of Georgia's class. But maybe it ends up being somebody else because of all these false positives that potentially led to Evans' recruitment that just never happened, or whatever else may be going on here. Maybe it ends up being trying to go back down the road with a Tank Bigsby at Auburn or a Marshawn Lloyd at South Carolina or someone of that regard. Ultimately, there are a lot of potential right answers to pair with Kendall Milton. Evans may be still one of them, but he's not the only one. Now, on the subject of recruiting, let me also transition to this. Late breaking just before we start the show here this morning, Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger, we get a tweet from four-star defensive lineman Jamil Burrows. Up until today, a member of Georgia's 2020 class, but Burrows online letting it be knowing that he's going to open up his recruitment, he's going to decommit from UGA. In fact, here's what he said on the screen. After careful consideration, talks with my family, I've decided to decommit from the University of Georgia. He says he appreciates the opportunity, but he has to do what he feels is right and offers a God bless to everyone out there. This is not necessarily unsurprising news, both in terms of the fact that a lot of the early commitments to any power program like Georgia don't stick the entire way, and There had been some kind of rumblings and grumblings involving Burrow's relationship with Georgia for quite some time. He'd taken some visits to LSU, for instance. There's been some other schools that have kind of come in him as of late. At one point in time, he even had some Alabama interest. I don't know where that stands as of now, but he's had other schools interested in him. It seems like Georgia has been interested in a lot of defensive linemen. This is another one of those issues that I won't pretend to necessarily know why this decommitment occurred. Was Georgia not showing Burrows enough love? Were other schools showing so much love to Burrows that it became more than he was able to withstand? I'm sure that Jeff Sintel will be able to shed some more light on that when he joins us here in a moment. The one thing I will say is, when you look at the defensive lineman that Georgia is currently in the mix from, this has been an issue of concern for the Dogs for the last couple of years. Why isn't the program recruiting defensive linemen the way that it is other positions? I don't know that you can say that right now on the basis of the way that the 2020 class has played out thus far. Georgia either has commitments from guys who I think are top flight, Jalen Carter comes to mind, or in the mix for guys who might be true difference makers, Jordan Birch comes to mind there on that. So obviously Burrows has thought better of his relationship with Georgia and his situation as a part of this 2020 class. Does not seem like, though, that Georgia is going to be in a rough position for finding other defensive linemen that potentially want to take that spot. So we'll wish Burrows well and certainly look to see how Georgia responds to this. My guess is they're going to be aggressive in their pursuit of other defensive linemen. Now, with the recruiting stuff out of the way for a moment, we're going to get more on this when Jeff Sintel joins us here in a couple of minutes. Let me turn our attention back to the field for Saturday for Georgia against Murray State, a game that, let's admit, not expected to be competitive, but that doesn't mean there isn't some evaluation of UGA that's going to be ongoing here. And Arkansas State next week, heading towards Notre Dame, the big one on Saturday, September 21st. And some of this is coming from fans, and some of this is coming from Kirby Smart himself, who, when he made an appearance on the weekly SEC coaches teleconference, this is something that all the coaches do each and every week. It's not the same thing as the press conferences you see from Athens. This is kind of done on the phone. Our buddy Mike Griffith from Dog Nation covered that. And I thought that Mike wrote a piece at Dog Nation this week that was pretty interesting, kind of a candid remark from Kirby Smart about how he feels about his offensive line right now. And this is maybe made more relevant by the fact that at least on Saturday and for the foreseeable future, I know Kirby on his radio show last night said, yes, Isaiah Wilson is dealing with an ankle right now. That's likely to keep him out for a couple of weeks at least. But Kirby says even beyond the status with Wilson, there's something he wants to see more of from his offensive line. Let me show you on the screen for those of you watching on video the quote from Kirby, and of course our radio podcast, I read it to you. He says, we've got to protect the quarterback better. We took some shots on our quarterback that were unnecessary. That's Smart referencing what happened against Vanderbilt. And I think he's right about that. I think when you look at what could have been better for Georgia on Saturday, two-minute drill comes to mind here for me. There were some issues in which Fromm was under more duress than he probably should have been, and it's interesting to hear Kirby Smart speak as candidly on that as he did. Now, last night, we did a very special show. We're doing this every Thursday during the season. We're calling it the Marlowe's Matchup, and it's presented by our friends at Marlowe's Tavern. And I'm lucky to have as a co-host on that show, former UGA great, the All-American offensive lineman, John Stinchcomb. Kirby says he's looking to see better pass protection from the offensive line. Stinch, who knows the position, says that's something he needs to see more from the Dogs as well. Here is John Stinchcomb on that point.
I think Georgia's offensive line is great. You know, we should start there. I'm not trying to undermine or undervalue one of the best groups of five across this country. What I'm saying is the area that they could probably improve is in their pass protection. They're a physical offensive line. It's an offense based on run first and play action pass. And when we saw that, they were thriving. Now, defenses are not going to stand toe-to-toe with a veteran group, relatively, that's massive. Mm-hmm. They're going to move. They're going to bring pressure packages. And an area of improvement for this offensive line is in the two-minute drill and obvious passing situations. Vandy is not the best pass-rushing team Georgia's going to face. And you can expect week in and week out, defenses are going to try to get this offensive line off their game. So if there's an area where I think they can improve, it's going to be in those situations, the obvious pass situation.
I think John makes a very good point there at the end of that statement. I want to make sure you heard that. He says, with Georgia's offensive line being as big and strong as it is, the opponent is not going to just stand there and get mauled. They're going to try to do something to counterbalance that. And you can't match Georgia's size. You probably can't match Georgia's physicality. So you're going to approach this from a quickness standpoint. You're going to try to out-quick the big Georgia offensive lineman. So with a Cade Mays or Jamari Salyer stepping in a lot here this week, and Isaiah Wilson working his way back in over the course of the next few weeks. Let's watch that battle. Teams trying to go quick with their pass rush to counterbalance the massive Georgia offensive line. That's the game within the game that's going to determine a lot for Georgia as we head to the crucial contest later on this season. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Kroger. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, radio at noon, of course, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. A little bit of a technical glitch with our radio show yesterday, but we're excited about being back on the radio again in the Classic City here today, and of course, as a podcast, wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. And as I said before, really good to have Jeff Centel coming up here a little bit later on today, and really good to have Kroger bring in all possible to you as well. And of course, as we head towards tailgate season, Kroger's getting you stocked up for all that. You can save now. How about pork Boston butt, just 99 cents per pound. Also, two for $20 on 12 packs of Miller or Coors, and just $7.99 selects Hershey's party size candy. So really good deals on a whole bunch of stuff right now. Check out your local Kroger for a whole lot more on that. It's great to have Kroger with us as a part of Dog Nation Daily here today. Let me also give you a quick update on what's going on with Dog Nation Express. The waiting list is growing by leaps and bounds, and we're continuing to kind of figure out how much space we can accommodate. We are going to add some people to a Dog Nation Express. This sold out in like 2 seconds. I knew it would. And now it's simply a matter of how much space can you accommodate to kind of take more people. So get on the waiting list. There's still time to do that. DogNationExpress.com. Now, at a certain point in time, because we're like, you know, triple digits on the waiting list at the moment. So at a certain point in time, we're going to have to cut off that. But I haven't been told to do that yet. So get on the waiting list. No promises about where that goes, but we are going to be in contact with the folks on the waiting list here very soon about what's going on with that. We got people working around the clock to make Dog Nation Express as big and as much fun as it can, so I can't wait to share all of that with you. Before we get Jeff Centel, let's go around the doghouse here today. It's brought to you by my friends at Merriweather and Tharp, and obviously Saturday is a very special day at UGA as Sanford Stadium becomes Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium, and I thought it was appropriate today to honor Coach Dooley. Now, we'll do this a little bit later on in our program by welcoming in a guy that played well for Dooley in his tenure. That's former Georgia running back Tim Worley, also always a fun guest. We'll have him as a part of our program here coming up in just a moment. But before that, I wanted you to hear Dooley in his own words. You know, 39 years ago today, Georgia beat Tennessee in the season opener for 1980 that started the run towards a national championship. It was also the first game that gave rise to the legend that was Herschel Walker. A lot has been said about just how much Georgia expected from Walker in that first game. Well, Coach Dooley, when I had a chance to sit with him recently, gave us his thoughts on the debut of Herschel Walker and exactly how much fun it was watching him run wild over the Tennessee Vols. The day before Sanford Stadium becomes Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium, I think you'll love to hear from Coach Dooley right now as a part of Around the Doghouse, presented by Merriweather and Tharp.
Of course, the legend is that before that Tennessee game, that maybe you didn't know quite how good he'd be if he got a chance to play. Meaning, obviously, fans, even though he was hyped coming out of high school, there was this sense of, well, what's a guy like that going to be able to do as a freshman? Would you mind separating fact from fiction on that in terms of just how surprised you were when he was able to take over games as much as he did, including that first time he played? Was that unexpected for you?
Well, it is true that he had to earn the right to be the starter. And we had two players that had been around here. One had been here 5 years as a running back, and he had worked hard and deserved to start. Herschel came from the smallest classification in the state. And while he was a superstar in that classification, he hadn't competed at the highest level. And even in the early practice sessions, he showed some of the Herschel that we know, but there was other times that there was uncertainty about it. But I knew this. I knew he was going to be a great player. The question is, how soon was he going to be great? But I was going to give him an opportunity to see how soon. So I had a plan that those other two would play 2 series apiece, and then Herschel would play 2 series, and we'd see what would happen. Well, it happened. I mean, when he went in and started running plays, I used to say, I'm not sure that he knows where he's going, but I know he's going somewhere in a hurry. And everybody saw that. So he won the job in the ball game in front of the coaches, in front of the players, and in front of the fans. And so he started the second half, and the rest is history.
What a truly amazing storyteller that Coach Dooley is, and how much fun it is to think back on Herschel running over Bill Bates, and just an incredible, incredible moment in the career of Coach Dooley. And tomorrow to see Dooley Field become Sanford Stadium is going to truly be very special. So I can't wait to be a part of that. Of course, it's great to have you with us as a part of Around the Doghouse here, presented by our friends at Merriweather and Tharp. And if you find yourself facing the unfortunate situation of divorce, you should know that Merriweather and Tharp can help you, and you don't even have to be a client. They offer thousands of free web pages, podcasts, divorce guides. They really want to try to help everyone better understand the divorce process. It's kind of a part of the generous spirit that Merriweather and Tharp brings to the table here. You need an advocate on your side if you're dealing with the situation. So find Merriweather and Tharp at theatlantadivorceteam.com. Theatlantadivorceteam.com. They'll help you get through this difficult time, but you got to reach out to them on the web. Theatlantadivorceteam.com. All right, here on this very special edition of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger, we'll hear from former Georgia running back Tim Worley a little later on, his own personal recollections of being coached by Vince Dooley. But for now on, more on the Jamil Burrows decommitment, more on whatever's going on with Zachary Evans and kind of everything else in between, let's get ready to speak to a Jeff Sintel right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Game tomorrow, but recruiting is certainly in the news over the last 24, 48 hours, so no better person to turn to for all of this than our buddy Jeff Sintel. We'll kind of see if we can clean up all of this and deal with it here over the course of the next couple of minutes. Jeff, let me dive right into it if you don't mind. As we're getting ready to go on the air here on this Friday morning, we find out that Jamil Burrows, four-star defensive lineman, has decided to decommit from Georgia's 2020 class. This in and of itself is not necessarily unexpected news. Burrows has seemingly been active in talking about other schools. Georgia is certainly active in talking to a lot of different defensive linemen. And, you know, I think there's still an appetite on the part of UGA fans to want to know more about what was the likely story behind the story on this and what was churning below the surface that would lead to a Burrows deciding to open things back up. What would you say to Georgia fans who are left wondering what really happened here?
Yeah, it's an intersection of a lot of things to think about here, Brandon. Your metaphor with a duck on water and feet churning rapidly below the surface, I think that addresses it quite well. I would call this an intersection of a lot of things. Number one, Georgia played, I believe, 9 defensive linemen against Vanderbilt on Saturday, and only 3 of those will be able to return next season. Devontae Wyatt, Trayvon Walker, and potentially a guy like Malik Herring. So defensive line is very big for Georgia in this class. I think that's the first thing to consider. And Burrows was one of 4. Burrows was one of 4, and he was the second one of those to commit back on August the 25th of last year. So when he did so at the time, he was the nation's number 4 defensive tackle, and he was the nation's number 63 overall prospect. Those are pretty sporty rankings and exactly what Georgia is looking for to replenish the D-line in its 2020 class. So here's what happens over the next course of, I guess, 12 months. We always say follow the visits. Well, maybe this is a case of follow the non-visits. Burrows was not at G-Day. Burrows was not at Georgia over the offseason. He was not at the June camps. He was not at the Georgia cookout in late July. He was in Tuscaloosa in late July, and he wasn't at G-Day earlier that year as well. So there's a lot of things that kind of say, you know, as I wrote this morning when the news broke, I kind of considered this an eventuality. It is. Georgia has a tight class. Can they sign 24, 25? Maybe. They need to go heavy on defensive linemen. There are other defensive linemen that wants to reel into the boat. A lot of big names I'm sure we'll discuss in your next question. But what's going to happen here is it's a little bit of Jamil, a little bit of Georgia, and a little bit of needs where we go back on this, Brandon. This commitment now drops the number of Georgia boys in this class to 4. And this was another early commitment from an in-state prospect where he didn't continue to develop and get better And I nothing against Jameel Burrows. He's going to land somewhere at a very big school, a very fine school. I was impressed by him at the opening, not so much as the reps he won or didn't win, but it was how he just came back and got back in there and tried to get better, tried to keep working, tried to get some wins under his belt. When a lot of guys I saw at the opening get frustrated with the way things are going and they just kind of tap out because they don't want clips across social media of them getting abused by one of the nation's elite players. That's not what the culture of football is about. I think the thing Burrows has also had to do, this is kind of the last thing I got here on this, is there's been some questions about his weight. I've always looked at him as a guy that if he lost 10 or 15 more pounds, he could be very elite. Now, he moved very well at the Atlanta opening regional. He moved okay compared to all those other elite guys at the opening finals out in Texas. But I always thought, I always wanted to see what Jameel Burrows at 6'3 and about 320 pounds would look like.
Yeah, because it's probably fair to say that the defensive linemen in college all weighed something different in high school, right? Defensive tackles are strong side defensive ends from high school that gained weight. Nose guards are guys that may have been 340 in high school and slimmed down once they got into a college nutrition program. For the most part, defensive linemen across the board look pretty different from their high school profiles, correct?
Yeah, you know, you want people to change their bodies, and they usually do, but you also want them to kind of already kind of be walking that road a little bit when they're in high school. I think the ratings industry and the rankings industry, I think it provides a pretty good window for folks to realize what I'm talking about. When he commits to Georgia, he did so to honor his mother. It was a very touching moment last August. He committed on his mother's birthday. But when he committed to Georgia, he was the nation's number 4 a defensive tackle and number 63 overall. Well, while as he decommits today, he's the nation's number 31 defensive tackle and the number 366 player overall. Georgia doesn't sign a lot of number 366 players. Of course, we can point to Jordan Davis as a different evaluation, of course, across the defensive line. But especially a 6'2", 330-pound defensive tackle, maybe, that clocks 5.4s in the 40 and 5.5s in the shuttle. You want to see a little bit more than that, especially when you've got to really go hard in the paint for a strong defensive line class in 2020.
Before we talk more about defensive linemen that might one day fill Jameel Burrow's spot, let me talk about Zachary Evans here. You know the rumor mill. You see these comment sections, either whether it be Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger or kind of anything else we're doing. People have thought for a couple of weeks now Evans was going to commit, and so far it hasn't happened. I'm expecting it's not going to happen this week either. And then there's the weird thing that came up from his local TV station down there in Houston saying that he's not playing, and Evans goes on Instagram to refute that, saying he's dealing with a family issue. I said before you joined us, Jeff, that nothing I've heard about Evans thus far would scare me off of him. I think high school's a time to learn, grow, and develop, and some of that's on-field, some of that's off-field, and frankly, I think he deserves a little privacy for dealing with whatever he's dealing with here. However, at the same time, he's not the only running back I'm interested in for the 2020 class. I'm suspicious of all these false starts of the Evans commitment that never seems to happen, but I'm not going to pretend to know what's going on there either. I'm simply going to ask, how should Georgia fans feel about Evans at the moment?
Wow, that's a big one, man. Let me see, Brandon. I want to try and be very responsible and, you know, come up a little short and maybe just go 7-iron off the tee with a lot of things I could say here. So there's comments made yesterday prior to the game by a school official that said there was a matter with Evans that they are handling in-house. Now, we don't know everything that goes on in this program or that program, but generally, when we hear that in any level of sport, when something wants to be handled in-house, it basically means there's some dirty laundry that they don't want to see aired out on public or aired out on social media. I think the thing with Evans here, number one, is folks that are grasping with when he's going to commit, when he's not going to commit, and is it imminent in the crystal ball. I don't think that's the thing to focus on right here. Whether if Zachary Evans is having family issues or there are the rumors about work rate and how he was utilized in the first game. All I know is this, is when a player of Zachary Evans' caliber is not playing, when he's supposedly healthy and he's up to play in a big game, there's something going on here. And there's something going on here that that is a lot more important than when he commits to a certain school and how he might commit to a certain school. I think there's really bad timing here to look at with the Zachary Evans news, because everybody starts thinking, oh, is this an unruly high school player that thinks he's too big for the team? And again, all these are speculation and allegations. But then everybody would intersect that with stuff going on with Antonio Brown, and people start writing kids off left and right. I don't think that's the mature and responsible way to handle this story. All people can do is just to say a couple things. You know, when you watch Zachary Evans on social media and watch the way he moves, he doesn't move like a responsible young man, and I'm just going to leave it at that. He does things. I think this is his second log off or third log off from social media over the last month, I believe. It just makes you want to think, you know, not everybody's going to be as poised like a Dominic Blaylock or a Kendall Milton. These are young kids under intense spotlight. But the situation here where he's not playing, it is cause for concern, and I think folks should just sit back and monitor and watch how all this plays out.
Appreciate your candor on that, Jeff. Thanks so much. We got more with Jeff Sintel coming up here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. Before that, let me also tell you about my friends at the Atlanta and North Georgia Building Trades Council. Now, this is an important organization for the people who do that kind of work for a living. The ANGTBC is dedicated to the work and economic stability of organized construction workers in North America. They create work opportunities, improve living wages, they protect benefits. You can also earn while you learn with no tuition apprentice training, which is a very important thing of this day and age. You can earn as much as $100,000 while serving in your apprenticeship. You get employer-paid pension, insurance, wages up to 30% higher than non-union workers. That's why you want to get in touch. Let me give you a couple of ways to find out here. Dial this number, 404-584-0005. That's 404-584-0005. You can also check out GeorgiaConstructionCareers.com. This isn't just for men either. This is women and everyone encouraged to apply to our friends there at the Atlanta North Georgia Building Trades Council. All right, Jeff, let me talk about a different five-star recruit here for a moment. Clemson hosts Texas A&M on Saturday. Now, we know what it would look like if Georgia was playing a major game like that. In fact, we'll see it in a couple of weeks when Georgia hosts Notre Dame. The sideline will be a galaxy of stars when it comes to recruits. I'm assuming Clemson is going to be no different, so I'm going to ask you, do you expect five-star defensive lineman Jordan Burch to be at Death Valley for Clemson's game against Texas A&M on Saturday?
A lot of people want to come to. I mean, a lot of people want to check out Texas A&M and Clemson. It's one of the biggest stages in college football, especially in the Southeast corridor and everything else. Well, Burch is the guy that, you know, he doesn't seem like he's a big visit guy and a checkout schools guy, especially when a lot of people are there to watch him. I would think, you know, naturally Georgia fans would hope to think, well, if Burch is there for Clemson and Texas A&M, then will he be there for Notre Dame and Georgia? Those are things to think about, but you know, maybe one of the first things that comes to my mind is, you know, his football schedule at Hammond School, just to begin with. I mean, that's a school that plays a lot of, you know, the private school league. It plays a lot of Friday and Saturday games. You know, there might be the question of whether he has the availability to be there or not. And I guess, Brandon, you also could probably state if he would be at the South Carolina game on Saturday as well.
Something tells me that the South Carolina is, I think they're playing Charleston Southern maybe. Something tells me that they may have a hard time getting some RSVPs back from some five-star guys right now. But just to kind of follow up on this just for a moment, do you think it's fair to say that Burch, if he shows up at Clemson, and then let's say he doesn't go to, you know, Georgia Notre Dame, or let's say he does, let's say he goes to both, is that a false positive one way or another, or his presence at one big game on Saturday, maybe, you know, the Georgia game coming up in a couple of weeks, do you think that could be potentially indicative of what he's thinking?
Okay, Brandon, let me get you back on the heels of your skis a little bit here. I think he's not showing cards at all by which decision that he's making. I think what Jordan Burch really needs to do is he needs to see all of these schools again. He needs to go through the process of taking these visits and bringing in a lot of his data. I mean, sometimes kids just put it off by saying, I need to take a lot of visits and just want to see as many things as they possibly can see before they have to make a decision. You know, the thing with Burch, though, that keeps going in my mind is I know he's playing a late game on Friday night, and that's actually in Charlotte, in North Carolina, on Friday night, and then there's a 3:30 kick there for Clemson on Saturday. So, you know, it's not really the biggest timeline for him to make a visit to that. Something to think about there as well with Jordan Birch. Well, I'm just going to tell folks that one's probably not likely going to be resolved for any time soon.
Got about 30 seconds left. Let me ask you about Saturday for Georgia. Are you expecting much in the way of visitors? I know Murray State doesn't exactly bring out the crowd, and they're going to have a huge alumni faction there because of Dooley. Does that leave room for much recruiting work?
Yeah, there'll be some guys there. I think some of the diehards will be there. I would expect Tate Ratledge to be at every Georgia home game that he possibly can. And while we were talking this morning, he just texted in and said he would be at Georgia. Justin Robinson, I don't think will be there. That's the wide receiver out of Eagles Landing. He told me he does not plan to make it there. Braylon Oliver, the 2021 commitment out of South Carolina, he's going to be there, but he's also dealing with a sprained ankle ligament right now. He's not playing for his high school team right now in South Carolina. So if you see Mr. Oliver walking around or around the west end zone, he looks a little gingerly. There's the reason why for that. David Daniel, the big 2021 guy out of Woodstock, Georgia, he's actually going to be in Athens on Saturday rather than Clemson and Texas A&M. Probably there has a lot to do with, you know, schedules and how, you know, folks, it's just a lot easier to get to Athens than it might be to Clemson on Saturday. Something to consider for a lot of those in-state guys right there. I think the biggest visit for folks to think about in terms of who's going to Clemson with Georgia considerations on Saturday is very likely Caleb Williams making the visit to Death Valley to check out that game. Most would think that there's no way Clemson's going to have a shot there. Mr. Williams, considering what they've lined up with Trevor Lawrence and then DJ Ungele, who's the number one prospect at quarterback in the 2020 class. But I think folks are a little skittish right now when it comes to Clemson taking a look at some Georgia top targets.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair to say. Hey, great stuff, Jeff. I look forward to catching up with you in Athens tomorrow. Really good coverage of everything that goes on. Thanks for being here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, and we'll enjoy a chance to speak to you again soon.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. See everybody in Athens town.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Appreciate Jeff Skander there kind of sharing what he knows and kind of what he thinks. These are important topics to deal with right now. Georgia fans want to know the real scoop. There's so much spin in the world of recruiting, right? In some ways, it's unavoidable. It's nice to hear some unfettered information from Jeff like that. Really appreciate that. We'll get Tim Worley, the former Georgia running back, coming up in a couple of minutes. Got some SEC stories I want to talk to as well. Let me also tell you about my friends at MyBookie. Really good stuff going on with them. You know, they're starting the first ever online handicapping super contest where you have a chance to win. I think the winner's going to win like up to $100,000, something like that. $100 to enter is all it costs. You pick five games against the spread, and then you just try to move up the standings each week to claim your share of the prizes. Find MyBookie online by typing in MyBookie into your browser. You can find them on that. And then also really good news for those of you who want to get some action down week to week. You can get in on a great first deposit bonus from my friends at MyBookie. $1,000 up to that on your first deposit, or you can double your first deposit, but you've got to use the promo code DOGNATION for that. You got to get the promo code to get the special offer. DOGNATION's all one word, spelled the way it's supposed to be, DAWG. Use DOGNATION when you type in MyBookie, MyBookie. Then after that, you play, you win, you get paid. It's really, really simple, and MyBookie's got it going for you, so make sure you check them out. MyBookie online, and make sure you use the promo code DOGNATION for a lot more on that. So last night, we mentioned this before, Kirby Smart and his radio show kind of did give some confirmation, the fact that Isaiah Wilson is dealing with an ankle injury right now. That was somewhat new news, confirmation of what had previously been described as a lower leg injury. Nick Saban also made, I don't know if this is news, but it was at least interesting from his radio show last night. In the midst of talking about something, kind of referenced, you know, Alabama plays New Mexico State on Saturday, he was saying, hey, well, our team's got to be focused and ready to go for this game. And in the midst of talking about that, he also was saying, hey, I don't think Tennessee thought they were going to lose to Georgia State last week. And obviously, when you have that third Saturday in October rivalry, Saban referencing a loss to Georgia State is going to perk up the ears of Alabama fans who like snickering at the Vols over this. And Tennessee fans probably raised their ire a bit as well. What I found to be interesting about this is that Saban's even willing to reference this, like he even knows what went on. Georgia this week has taken a very different tact on this game. I asked DeAndre Swift post-game on Saturday, hey, did y'all use the fact that SEC teams had lost some games on the first Saturday of the season as motivation to make sure you go out and stay focused against Vanderbilt? And he wouldn't acknowledge that the team was even aware of it one way or another. I sort of expected him to do the opposite and be like, yeah, we wanted to go out and prove that, you know, we were focused. We wanted to play for four quarters. That's what I sort of thought he might say, but he went the entire other direction. He may not have even really known based on what his answer was. Nick Saban, when asked about it this week, I'm sorry, Kirby Smart, when asked about it this week, also wouldn't really give it the time of day one way or another either. Saban's at least willing to acknowledge that he knew that it happened, which I thought was kind of interesting on that. Speaking of the debacle for Tennessee last week against Georgia State, Sportsline, which is a gambling publication that's kind of owned by CBS Sports, I believe, they have come out with their odds for the first coach to be fired, and Jeremy Pruitt's name is on the list. He's at 50-1 to be fired. Jeremy Pruitt, y'all, is not going to be the first coach to be fired, nor do I think that Jeremy Pruitt's going to be fired at the end of this year. I think that's probably true regardless of what the Vols' record ends up being. That's not the situation that he's facing. I think that Tennessee's going to win on Saturday against BYU, and I think there's still a threat to win some SEC games. Florida, for instance, is not going to come in and just, you know, push Tennessee around. That's another example of this. But I do believe the Georgia State loss will eventually take Jeremy Pruitt out at the knees. This is a Vols fan base that's given all their patience over to other coaches. They've spent that other places. They don't have any left to spend. Booster's going to be asked to pony up here and there and the other for other things, and sometimes those purse strings get a little tight with coaches that lost to Georgia State. Plus, as I've said now a million times, Philip Fulmer is a careerist athletic director. He is not going to lend any of his credibility to protect Jeremy Pruitt, despite the fact that Fulmer's the guy that hired him, because I think Fulmer thinks that he's got enough political capital in Knoxville that he can withstand bad times in a way that Jeremy Pruitt, the unknown commodity, just can't. So Pruitt's going to eventually probably get fired because of the loss to Georgia State, but it's not going to be this year. Obviously, looking ahead to Saturday, two really big games nationally. I'm really excited about LSU Texas, and I'm really excited about Texas A&M Clemson. However, the one thing that is a little atypical for me in games like this, I really think the favorite is going to look very strong in this game, in both these games. I don't care what continues to happen with LSU Texas. I haven't seen or heard one thing all week long that leads me to believe this is going to be anything other than an easy LSU win at Texas and really kind of a defining moment for the Tigers in the early portion of the season. And I really feel the same way about Clemson. Now, I picked LSU to win the West, so from that standpoint, I'm probably kind of rooting for them. Obviously, I'm not a Clemson fan. I'm not rooting for them against Texas A&M, but I am quite sure of their ability because of the fact that the Tigers play an easy schedule. You play an easy schedule, you can circle one. You can highlight one game. That's what I believe that Clemson's going to do here. Plus, when you see two teams rank the top 12 and one team is this much of a favorite, usually Vegas kind of knows something about that and will make that your SEC third. Now, our buddy Connor Riley, who's our producer here today on Dog Nation, daily presented by Kroger, has kind of at least insinuated the other side might be the right side in the LSU-Texas game. He just gave me the horns up logo, so I'll give him horns down to respond back to that. For now, here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger, I want to say hello to, a good friend of our program, someone we always love the chance to hear from. It's former Georgia running back Tim Worley. Tim, it's been a while since we've had you on the program. Want to say welcome back, and I know you're looking forward to being with a lot of Georgia fans and Coach Dooley in Athens tomorrow, so thanks for spending a minute with us to talk about that. Hope you're doing well.
Good morning, Brandon. Thank you guys for having me on again. It's always good to be on your show.
So we've talked a lot about Coach Dooley this week, as you might imagine, and Georgia fans this week themselves have been reminiscing about some of those great moments. But we, me, the listeners and viewers of the show, see all this from the outside. We watched it on TV. We watched it from the stands. But you were in that locker room. You were alongside him for years and have maintained a relationship with him, you know, after your career was done. So for someone who was on the inside with Coach Dooley like you were and a part of the great RBU heritage at Georgia that he helped establish, what does Coach Dooley mean to you?
Coach Dooley to me is like a father. He taught me a whole lot, not just about sports, but also about what it takes to be a man. I just look at some of the things that I was able to do with his help. I tell you one particular thing as far as an athletic standpoint. Back in 85, you know, I had a choice whether or not to run track, too, at the University of Georgia. And Coach Dooley talked me into participating in spring practice. And he had a reason for that, because spring practice is what helped me develop as a better tailback. You know, in high school, I just dominated with my speed, and I got to the hole, but spring practice helped me to slow things down and become a better football player on the field. And so those are just some of the areas that just his wisdom kicked in, and I received it.
How much fun is it for you to be back at Sanford Stadium? You know, this is a place that you've had great success with during your career. You get a chance to stand on that grass again tomorrow and hear the same kind of cheers that you once heard back during your great playing days at UGA. When you're back between the hedges, how much fun is that for you personally? Now, it makes it special tomorrow because of one of the reasons that you are back, but just in general, to kind of be back on those stomping grounds that you once called your own home, how much fun and how special is that for you?
But to tell you how much fun it is and the anticipation, I've had butterflies all week. I'm serious, Brandon, as you mentioned it now, I'm getting butterflies because my wife and I, we're on 85 now. We're about probably an hour and a half from Athens, so we're going to be there the whole weekend. But it's going to be exciting. I haven't been back in a while. I haven't been amongst that sea of red and them chanting the Bulldogs. And I'm very excited to be there to see the dedication of the field to Coach Dooley.
You know, one of the things I believe is really important is for, you know, young football fans to be aware of history. I think the history of an organization is kind of what directs it in the modern times. And for Georgia, one of the things that I think is special about the Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium moniker that's going to be added tomorrow is it's a way to introduce young fans into the era of Vince Dooley that they may not have been alive to experience, and to see players such as yourself who they may have heard about but get a chance to see, you know, kind of down there on that field or hear you on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger right now. For you, Tim, who not just a former player but also kind of a student of the game, a, you know, studier of the game, you know, how important do you think it is for moments like this in terms of bringing the, you know, the history of the sport, Georgia's own history when it comes to this sport? How important is it to you to bring things like this to the forefront?
I think it's very important. We always need to know where things began. It didn't start with Coach Dooley. You know, we go way back. You look at the Charlie Trippies. You look at the Wally Butts. But Coach Dooley was able to come into the University of Georgia and establish himself for a 25-year stint at head coach. And with that, not only did he wear that hat, he also wore the athletic director's hat. And he did it for a lot of years. And I just think the history and the fact that the stamina and the strength and the wisdom that he brought to the University of Georgia is just amazing. And I believe that the young men and women today, not just student athletes, but students too, they need to know what it takes to get to that point. It was a lot of work done, a lot of tracks laid, and a lot of labor, and things just don't fall into your hands, you know? And my advice to the young people today is you got to work hard for stuff. It's not just going to happen overnight like that. You have to put in the work, and now you're seeing the fruits of Coach Dooley's labor at 85 years old. The man is unbelievable. I love him.
Well, listen, before we let you go, I want to talk to you a little bit about what we saw on Saturday as well. You know, in your George career, you were lucky enough to get to play with a lot of really good backs on campus at the same time as you. Rodney Hampton comes to mind. Keith Henderson comes to mind. Alfonso Ellis kind of in that group there as well. On Saturday, we also saw Georgia use four backs to great effect. DeAndre Swift picked up where he left off. It was great to see the debut of Zamir White. James Cook, I think, is the kind of guy that shows that he might be able to do a lot for Georgia this season. And Brian Harrion has waited his turn, and now he's being rewarded from that. What did you make of the quartet of backs that Georgia put on display on Saturday and kind of how they were used pretty well interchangeably throughout the game?
Well, I didn't get a chance to see the game because I was coaching, and I got a little football league that I coached.
Nice.
And I didn't really get a chance to see the game, but I saw some previews, and I was looking at a lot of stuff on YouTube just showing the Georgia backfield, updating the practice and stuff. And I was looking at the guys back there, man, and I just went, ooh-wee!
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at Swift, I'm looking at Cook, I'm looking at Zeus, Zamir White, and the other kids that they got, man. Listen, we are stocked. And it reminds me of the day when we had talked the Lars Tate, the Rodney Hampton, the Keith Hendersons, the David McCluskeys, the Alfonso Ellis's, myself, and just a slew of running backs, man, that really when you shift them in and out of the game, you don't know who's who, really, unless you look at the number, you know?
No, it's
so
amazing.
It's very exciting. exciting, man. That's the University of Georgia right there for you, though.
That's it's great stuff, Tim, and we certainly appreciate you being with us here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. And before I let you go, you've obviously got a lot going on, as you said before, and sometimes this involves kind of reaching out, speaking to people, and doing some great work on behalf of some of the next generation of not just football players, but just young people in general. For folks who kind of want to find out more about what you got going on and some of the exciting things that are happening in your life and with your business and everything else, how can folks find you online?
Well, my website is waterglobalenterprises.com. And my Facebook page is Water Global Enterprises. My wife is here with me too, Brian. And you know, we rolling down the highway with a Georgia and Alabama tag on the car. People riding by giving us a fist. No, I'm just kidding. but you can find us on Twitter too, and Twitter handle is Water Global Biz. Some of the things that I'm doing, I'm still speaking around the country. Matter of fact, I'm going to lead the game at halftime. After halftime, to head up to Dalton, Georgia. I'm actually preaching at a church in Dalton, Georgia this Sunday at Spring Place Baptist Church. And I'm going to be speaking to a lot of the youth and try to encourage them about making wise choices. So it's just mainly athletes, but I'm just excited about what God is doing in my life, and I'm just trying to spread it to the nation and to the world.
Well, I hope that youth group has its chin strap buckled for Sunday, because something tells me you're going to be bringing the fire.
Yeah, I'm going to serve them some grits, some cheese, and some eggs and sausages. I got something for them.
We wouldn't expect anything less than that from you, Tim. Thanks so much for being here on Dog Nation Day, presented by Kroger. Enjoy the time in Athens. We appreciate your service to your community, and it's always a great chance to get a chance to speak to you here on our program as well.
Thank you, Brandon. God bless you, my friend.
Good stuff there from Tim Worley, a great former Georgia running back and a guy who's got a real heart for people and obviously great love for his alma mater there at the University of Georgia. That's really nice to be able to see. With that in mind, let's also roll through here and do our Kroger kickoff for a moment, kind of get you up to date on everything that's going to be happening in Athens tomorrow. Of course, for us, from a broadcast standpoint, it's going to start with the Kroger kickoff pregame broadcast, which is going to begin approximately around 1:30 p.m. or so. Dog walk should get rolling around 1:45 for those of you who want to be there. The Tate Center parking lot for that, but we'll have Kroger kickoff kind of coming up around 1:30 p.m. or so for that. Then the Dooley Field ceremony will be pregame. That'll kind of get rolling there. You know, game time's at 4 between Georgia and Murray State. The Dooley Field will be before that. I would really encourage you to get in your seats early. Get, you know, you got other opportunities for tailgates this year. Pack up that tailgate a little early. Put yourself to go drink together or whatever, and get on over there to Sanford Stadium so you can see what goes down with the Dooley Field ceremony. Something tells me this is going to be a pretty special one for Georgia as Sanford Stadium becomes Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium. And then immediately after the game between the Dogs and the Racers, we'll have our Dog Nation postgame show. That's going to be from the UGA bookstore. I'd encourage you to come on by and see us there for that right next to the stadium. Of course, we're up on the second floor. Sometimes you come, you don't see us. We're always on the second floor for our Dog Nation postgame show. We'll see you there for that immediately after the game. And what a weekend it's going to be. Home opener for Georgia at Sanford Stadium. Can't wait to see all of you in Athens tomorrow. By the way, also before we kind of close things out here today, I know it was a losing effort last night. How about Roquan Smith, though? Something tells me this young man may have a future at the linebacker position. This is going to sound corny. I don't mean for it to, but it was almost like I was sad watching him play because I just remember him doing those things for Georgia, you know, busting through, you know, getting the quarterbacks, just a nose for the football. I mean, he's just the same guy for the Bears that he was for Georgia, and it was really, really cool to be able to see, and it just brought back so many great memories of 2017. Like I said, Bears lose the game, but Roquan, man, he looks like a really good football player right now, which is a really cool thing to be able to see. All right, something else that's really cool to be able to provide for you. How about our Gator Hater Updater? 1,042 days, that's how long, since Florida's beaten Georgia. Thanks so much for being with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger today. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll look forward to seeing you on Monday.